Thanks, Kirk. Paul's letter to the Galatians lists patience as the fourth most important virtue for us to cultivate as human beings. This is something I have yet to master, much less become proficient in. But I can tell you it's on my bucket list of things I'd like to achieve in my lifetime. Patience, that thing I'm constantly having to struggle with. Maybe it's, as Elizabeth Taylor put it, it's strange that the years teach us patience, that the shorter our time, the greater our capacity for waiting. My question is, at what age does that actually happen? I'm 62. I'm still waiting. Because I'm much more in tune with this quote by Bill McGlasson. Patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not in front of you. That's so true for me, waiting for the invitation to turn left. I'm also aware that I've actually prayed for the gift of patience, and God tends to put me into those situations which require a lot of it. Say something like a traffic jam on the way down to visit Edie and her family. Take a moment and just think about your own life. Think about your daily grind or the daily routines that you go through. Think about the hundreds of people that you pass, brush shoulders with maybe, and if you ride the bus or the subway, bump into even and get crowded onto. Think about the way you interact with people. It's weird to think, but you interact with hundreds of people on a daily basis and you probably aren't even conscious of it. These interactions are small moments. They're tiny, seemingly insignificant seconds out of your life. They have no weight really to them, no purpose, no real meaning, yet they have significant power. These small moments all add up to a bigger sum of our life, creating opportunities and experiences that are missed by the hurried and the impatient, thinking always something will be better in just 5 more minutes. What if you took that 5 minutes, rather, and slowed down? What if you took that 5 minutes, Stephen, and appreciated the people and the interactions around you? Took a moment to notice the sorrow in a woman's face, for example, or the pain in some man's eyes, or the smile that comes across a checkout person's face when you say thank you for what you did? What could your tiny interactions mean to them? We spend our lives waiting for the next big event to happen in our lives, the next destination to arrive at, usually unaware of the moments that are being created for us all along the journey. It's always about the journey, isn't it? There's no final destination, so to speak. The following is a story that Laura Martin wrote for a magazine called The Elite Daily, and it was out of her March 25th, 2015 issue, and I shared this article in my book, Telling It Like It Is, and I hope this story is new for you because it's the first time I've preached it. The article she shares a story as told by a New York City cab driver who wrote this. I arrived at the address and I honked the horn. After waiting for a few minutes, I honked again. Since this was going to be my last ride for my shift, I thought, maybe I should just drive away. Who needs the hassle? But instead, I put the car in park. I walked up to the front door and I knocked on it. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor from inside. After a long pause, the door opened and a small woman in her 90s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat, with a veil pinned on it like somebody out of a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered in sheets to keep the dust off. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters, no corner with a card, just one little corner of, with a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. That was it. Would you carry my bag out to the car? She asked. I took the suitcase to the cab and then I returned to assist her. And she took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. It's nothing, I told her. I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated. Oh, you're such a good boy, she said. When we got to the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, could you drive me through downtown Manhattan? It's not the shortest way, I answered her. Oh, I don't mind, she said. I'm in no hurry, no hurry at all. I'm on my way to a hospice. I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left, she continued in a soft voice. The doctor says I don't have all that long to live. And I quietly just reached over and I shut off the meter. What route would you like me to take? I asked her. And for the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me buildings where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a little girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow in front of a particular building or corner, and she would stare into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, I'm tired. Let's go now. And we drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, with a driveway that passed under a portico to keep her from being rained upon or snowed upon. And two orderlies came out of the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her just the way they were for my mother-in-law when we checked her into an assisted living facility. Welcome, Edith Vandenbosch, it said. I opened the trunk and I took out that small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. How much do I owe you? She asked, reaching into her purse. Nothing, absolutely nothing, I said. You have to make a living, she answered. There are other passengers, I said. Almost without thinking, I bent and I gave her a hug, and she held on to me so tightly. She said, you gave an old woman a little moment of joy. Thank you for your kindness. I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light, behind me a door shut. It was the sound of a life coming to an end. I didn't pick up any more passengers that day. I drove aimlessly because of the thoughts that were swirling in my head. For the rest of the day, I could hardly speak, in fact. What if that woman had gotten an angry cab driver or one who was impatient to end his shift like I was? What if I had refused to make that run or had honked only once and then driven away and not actually gone up to the door? What then? On a quick review, I don't think that I have done anything more important in my entire life, he writes. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around those big, great moments, births, weddings, funerals, baptisms, coming of age, college, you name it. But the gray moments often catch us unaware. They come as unexpected, beautifully wrapped little gifts in what others may consider to be a small kindness, but is in fact everything to them at that moment. It is the eternal breaking into the present moment. It is, as Tillich called it, the eternal now. It is what heaven on earth is like, and it gives us a glimpse into what heaven might be like for all of eternity. Patience isn't something that you acquire overnight, at least for me. It will be something I struggle with my entire life. It's just like building up a muscle. Every day you need to work on it a little bit. Every day you need to practice just slowing down a little bit. Every day you need to stop and just ask God to show you what's in store for you, what you can be in service to the Lord that day. And then watch what God gives you. Watch how God blesses you with people and times and situations that may seem at first to be off-putting or even insignificant at best. that turn out to be something that can transform your life in a moment. Every day we have to practice this. Every day we have to think on this. Every day we have to remind ourselves that life is not about me, but it does involve me, and it involves you. Every day, in every way, we must practice what it means to be a loving, kind, patient, joy-filled human being made in the image and the likeness of our Lord, who shows us how to be as a human being. Go and do likewise. Amen.